Oh my God, he got a board. He got a board. Reach your hand out to him. Is this his turn? He's running away. No, don't do that. Let's pray for you. Don't do that. I need to be standing up.
Get on with it. Come on.
We love you, Brian.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we ask God to download from heaven for you, that we as the church, we open our heart, our mind, our ears to hear through you, that God speaks through you, that we would take that, not saying, never say like it's a good sermon, but it changes us and help us to apply the principle from God. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
You
got that. Mary's got that.
Good morning, folks. I don't know if this is working. We didn't test this. Is this a working silver? Hello? Testing, testing. 1, 2. Yeah, good. So, Sylvia, if we could power up the slide machine, please. That would be lovely. The title of today's talk is Look After Yourself. And I'm going to get you to do some work, which will fill you with joy. Are we recording, Silver? Okay, we can go now. So Mary is my glamorous assistant colleague who's going to wander around with the roving mic. And what I would like to do is my question. There are no right or wrong answers. It's probably a trick question. But I'd like any kind of thoughts or feedback about what do you do to look after yourself? What do you do to look after yourself? With the mic, please put your hand up if you're ready so that it can be heard and recorded. Somebody's put their hand up.
Go to the gym.
Gym.
Wash.
Wash.
Rest.
Rest.
Identify when I need time out.
Take time out.
That's what mental, well-being. Eat.
Eat.
Nice food.
Nice food or healthy food?
Eat.
Spend time with friends and family.
Time with friends and family.
Drink water.
That was water.
Drink water.
So we've had wash. We've had wash. Water on the outside, water on the inside. That's very good.
Pray.
Pray. Sleep. Sleep. Anything else? It's all good.
Breathe.
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 Oh, you breathe to look after yourself. Well, that's unusual. Okay, breathe.
Exercise your mind.
Exercise your mind. Anyone else? Come on, Mary, keep working.
Feed yourself spiritually.
Like feed spiritually. Anything else?
Read.
Read.
Choose what you believe.
Choose what you believe.
Work.
Hang on. We're almost full up, so I'll just take a couple of others if people have anything.
Come to church.
Come to church. One more, if there is one.
Play.
Play. That'll do. Okay, thank you. Well, I don't know if that was a Brian trick question. It was a genuine question. Just thought it was interesting. So the title is Look After Yourself, and the background to this is actually it is important that we do look after ourselves. It's nice if we can be connected with other people who help us to be healthy. But here's the news. Primarily, you are responsible for your life. the main person who's responsible for looking after you, it's you. And it's a very, very good thing to look after yourself. But here's the kind of trick or catch. What I really want to, all of those answers are good. And some of the things I'm going to talk about have come up. But the primary thing I want to talk about today is how do you look after your spirit? And I'm talking today primarily about your spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Because you have a spirit. And in a sense, I felt when I was preparing this, I was doing something a little bit, ooh, this is unusual. And I wanted to do a bit of research and talk to one or two people I know and like and trust. And so what I'm doing at the start of this is, and you might think this is weird, but I specifically want to address each of you, and I'm talking primarily to your spirit. And I'm calling in Jesus' name that your spirit, if it isn't fully awake now, I'm calling on your spirit in Jesus' name to wake up and pay attention to what I say. And I'm praying in Jesus' name that anything that I say that is in agreement with what the Holy Spirit would say finds a very quick response with your spirit. And in your spirit, you choose to say yes to what the Holy Spirit says to you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, that your spirit will pay serious attention to what I'm going to say. Amen.
Amen.
So as I was preparing this, I prepared the message, and then, you know, last minute I do the slides. That's how things work in the world of Brian. So as I was working on these slides, I thought, well, I want a kind of background image that kind of says something about what I'm going to say. And I came up with this, next slide, which might surprise you. If you're just listening to this, what's come up is a footprint on the surface of the moon. Just so you know, we don't need to go into this debate, but I'm in the camp that believes that men actually have walked on the moon, and it's not just some elaborate conspiracy theory. If you're in the other camp, God bless you, but, you know, my belief is that's actually a footprint on the moon. And what has that got to do with the human spirit? Well, when I did a Google search for images I could steal, sorry, legitimately borrow, for this talk, if you Google something like spirit, or you could quite easily get things that you might think are a good picture of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not wanting to ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work on for us and in us and through us is vital. Without the Holy Spirit, we are basically a little bit stuck. We really need the Holy Spirit. But a lot of the images would be, even if they were like, they could be doves or stars or a lovely sky, clouds. And all those images are lovely, but I've avoided them because primarily I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about you, your spirit, the human spirit. And some of the images were a bit kind of New Agey. They're kind of images that, well, I wouldn't necessarily choose to use them. And they're too much like the idea of, ooh, you know, not into that. And I landed on this, and so this is my theory. It's not the Bible. This is Brian talking, but I'm pretty sure I'm in a good place for this. So run with it. Judge it. I chose this because, as I'm going to say in a moment, it's clear from the Bible that the biblical view is that each one of us is body, soul, and spirit. We have three parts, not necessarily that they're easy to divide up totally, but a bit like we know that God is three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and it's not the same thing, but it's a funny kind of parallel that we seem to have. There are three parts to us, body, soul, and spirit. We are spirits in a soul, in a body. And My theory, the reason why I picked this picture, you can weigh it, you can dismiss it, you can think I'm crazy, but I chose this because I think this has a lot to do with the human spirit. It certainly has a lot to do with the human body, because actual astronauts had to get in pretty dangerous devices and be hurtled into space. Their bodies went to the moon. And there's about to be a big anniversary of the first landing on the moon. There's about to be a film released, which I'm pretty keen to go and see, called First Man. I can remember, as quite a young person, going to school and watching the first lunar landing on a very grainy black and white TV. Everything was black and white then, pretty much. I can remember that. But actual bodies went to the moon. It's certainly also an example of the soul of humanity. The soul being, often when people talk about the soul, they're talking about the will, the emotions, the thinking, the intellect. And there's a lot of intellect, apart from anything else, that went into putting men on the moon. But I suggest it's also evidence of the human spirit. I believe that there's something more than just the human soul that drove mankind to put people on the moon. Some of the motives may have been mixed, but something in there was some huge internal drive, some huge awareness that there's something big out there, and I've got to see what it is. I want to be able to touch it. I want to be able to find out what it is. That's more than just the human soul. That's the human spirit. So in my opinion, I would say humanity getting to the moon is an example of us as bodies, souls and spirits going out and doing something. I don't know if that makes any sense. Maybe that makes sense to you. I hope it does. So you might not think your spirit needs any attention, and I don't want to go into all this stuff, but I think that if we identify as Christians, we can have some ideas about our spirits which are a bit funny. We might think basically that before we become Christians, we don't really have a spirit, because we think about our spirit as being dead, and maybe it's so dead it's almost non-existent. We might think that once we become Christians, it's basically, we have a spirit, but it's basically all to do with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's vital that we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But I'd suggest we can almost get into a stage where we basically kind of live as if, oh, come Holy Spirit, come and do me. You know, I can't do anything. You come and do whatever it is that needs to be done, because I can't do anything. Well, in a sense, that's a very healthy position. You know, I can't do anything. But in fact, God created you as a spirit, with a soul, with a body. And there is stuff for your spirit to do. There is attention that you need to pay to your spirit. Because the spirit, your spirit, is fundamentally who and what you are. And it's not just automatic what happens with your spirit and what kind of shape your spirit is in. Again, I haven't got room to debate it really, but you might have an idea of your spirit as this kind of the bit in you that is so divinely created and is so perfect and et cetera, that you don't really need to pay any attention to it, because nothing can ever go wrong. Nothing can ever happen to it. Nothing ever really changes. It's almost like it's just like a sort of some kind of box that just needs to connect with the Holy Spirit, and then everything's okay. But what I want to kind of dig at is that actually you as a complete person, body, soul and spirit, as a complete person, including your spirit, you have a responsibility about what is actually happening in your spirit. You have some decisions to make. That's kind of what I'm going to poke at a little bit about. Next slide, please. So I'm not going to read all the verses that come up on the slides. For the sake of the recording, I'll try to give you the references. But first of all, I just want to kind of show that I'm not just going completely crazy, and there is some biblical basis for saying that we are body, soul, and spirit. The verses up on the screen at the moment are 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Philippians chapter 4, verse 23, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. In the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 passage, there's a blessing, and it specifically says, "May the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So there's a specific reference there to each one of us, that we receive a blessing in our soul, spirit, and body. Hebrews talks about the word of God and how the word of God is like this two-edged sword, and it divides even between soul and spirit. Gets right in between soul and spirit. So we have a soul and we have a spirit, and they're different. They're very, very closely connected. Very, very closely connected. But the word of God can even get between the close connection between your soul and your spirit. But you have a soul and you have a spirit. Philippians chapter 4, that's again a blessing at the end of one of Paul's letters. And he's actually just asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be with your spirit. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, and this might be a bit of a surprise, that the part of you that knows your thoughts is your spirit. That nobody, no other human being and no other part of you knows your thoughts apart from your spirit. I find that interesting. So it's often helpful for people to think about this threefoldness of this body, soul and spirit in some kind of picture or diagram. So next slide, please. This is one kind of diagram. So it has, it might be three circles, but these are slightly squished up, squidgy non-circles. So we have the spirit in the middle, the soul outside that, and then the body outside that. That's the way that the body, soul, spirit thing is often presented. Personally, I don't totally love that as a picture. It's got some value, but I don't personally love it as a picture. Really, because although I think of it as true that my spirit is like that inmost core of me, I do think like that. What that kind of picture suggests to me is that this core of the spirit that's inside, it's so inside that it's got to, for something to get to my spirit, it's got to get through my body and my soul to get to my spirit. And for anything to come out, it's got to get through my soul and my body to come out. And I just don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true. There are connections for me sometimes between what I feel is happening inside and what I'm feeling in my body. But that's not always the case. So I don't particularly love that picture. There's a different kind of picture I prefer, which is the next one, which has three kind of intersecting circles. So one circle is the body, one circle is the soul, and one circle is the spirit. And I kind of prefer that overlapping idea, although I still think of my spirit as being in the core of me. That's how I think. So the New Testament has a lot to say about the spirit. There's a lot I could say. I will try to keep it short. What I'm going to do is I'm going to canter through a few things that I believe we learn from the New Testament about our spirits. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read every single Bible verse I refer to, but I will, for the sake of the recording, say what the verses are. But really today, I'm looking at your spiritual health. And last time I spoke, I think I mentioned physical exercise, and quite fairly some issues to do with physical exercise came up on the board. I would just like to acknowledge the people who have kindly inquired over my experience of the gym since I last spoke. Mary's doing a good job keeping me accountable and dragging me to the gym. I had an amazing experience today as I was very carefully choosing my wardrobe for speaking. I chose these trousers, and I I pretty quickly rushed downstairs, having put my trousers on, I hastened to add, to tell Mary that something had happened to them. It's like they've grown in the wash. Do you ever have trousers? Do you have things that shrink in the wash?
Yeah.
Well, these have grown in the wash. It's a while since I worn these trousers, and they're looser. How did that happen? But that's physical exercise. There is a real benefit in physical exercise. But I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about our spirits. So I'm going to canter through some propositions, and I just hope that I can keep you awake physically in your body, but most importantly, that in your spirit, you will be engaging with these and allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon you things that you need to be aware of. So first one. When we become Christians, there is a spiritual birth. The passage there is John chapter 3, verses 3 through to 5. It's part of that famous conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus when Jesus spoke about being born again, born in the Spirit, born from above. So, most if not all of us probably know that very well. It's kind of proof that there's a spiritual thing that happens when we become Christians. So it kind of underlines the fact that as Christians, there's definitely a spiritual dimension to life. You know, something has happened in the spiritual realm, and it's really, really major. I would just say, again, I don't want to lead you down a rabbit trail. This doesn't, in my opinion, this doesn't mean that before someone becomes a Christian, they don't have a spirit. I believe everybody is created as a spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And I think it must be pretty true and obvious, actually, that we all have spirits that function before we become believers. Because otherwise, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us before we say yes to Jesus and convince us about things like our need to be right with God? How does that happen if we don't have a spirit? So we always have spirits. And if anybody's listening who doesn't yet think they've said yes to Jesus, and if you're feeling something at the moment, well, that is almost certainly God's Holy Spirit talking to your spirit. He's communicating with you now. Next proposition. It is our spirit that tells us we belong to God. And the reference there is Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. So that tells us that we've received God's Spirit. We've been adopted as Father God's children, and that's how we call him Abba Father. For his spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit's work is massive, it's vital. But our spirit has a part to play. It isn't just the Holy Spirit comes in and tells us and like gives us an order that we obey. His spirit comes in and our spirit agrees. Our spirit witnesses. It's our spirit that is telling us in agreement with the Holy Spirit that yes, you really are home. You really are a child of God. It's a spiritual exercise. Next idea. It is our spirit that senses God communicating with us. The passage here is John chapter 10 verses 14 to 15. You might think this is a cheat because in this passage it doesn't say anything about the Spirit. But this is Jesus identifying himself as the Good Shepherd. He talks about himself looking after the sheep. And he says at the end about the sheep, and that when he talks about sheep, he's talking about us as well as everybody else who believes. He's saying that we, the sheep, will listen to Jesus' voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. So one of Jesus' promises to us as followers of Jesus is that we will listen to his voice. We listen to his voice in our spirit. We listen to his voice in our spirit. I've headed this God communicating with us. I just want to say now, I might forget later on, we often talk about hearing God's voice. And I'm quite aware that it's quite common for Christians or some Christians to say, well, I can't hear God's voice. I don't hear God's voice. If that's your situation, or I used to be able to hear God, but now I can't hear God. If that is your situation, I have genuine sympathy for you. But we really need to work through that so that you get to a point where you can hear his voice, because Jesus promised to you as one of his sheep that you would in your spirit. But here's the thing, in case it helps, just a brief thing. The language we use about communicating with God and God communicating with us is not helpful, because we almost always say, hear his voice. Which suggests someone actually speaking and someone actually listening. Or if not an actual voice like outside that you hear, a strong kind of impression in your mind or whatever, that you're having a conversation with actual words. And I haven't got time to go into it in detail, but I would just say, or suggest to you, there is more than one way of communicating. And Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. And I believe there may be other ways, but when God is communicating with us, it can depend upon how he made us, because some of us have an impression of words, some of us have an impression of pictures, and some of us have an impression of a feeling which feels beyond words or beyond pictures. And please, if at any stage you're struggling with the thing about can I hear from God, or you're talking with someone else who's struggling, please don't let anybody put themselves in a box where, well, I can't be hearing from God because what I experience isn't like what I think everybody else experiences. God has made us in a whole range of different ways. And I just bless you now in Jesus' name to find the way of communicating with God that fits how he made you in the first place. Because it won't necessarily be the same as anybody else in the room. Amen?
Amen.
But the promise is that we will, in quotes, hear his voice. And that happens in our spirits. It's our spirits that do that. That's how we're made. Next. Our spirit can be defiled. The reference here is 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. And I think this is important if you at any stage go through life and you just think, well, however else I might mess up, whatever else I might get into, my spirit is like this diamond thing that's been put inside me and nothing can ever touch it and nothing can ever go wrong. Well, it would seem that's not biblically accurate, because your spirit can be defiled. In this passage, in this part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's calling on Christians to cleanse yourselves from everything that can defile your body or your spirit. That's a really serious challenge. Our spirits can be defiled. And all sorts of things can defile us, including persistent sin, and including involvement with the occult. There are other things as well. But I would urge you to always be ready to do a kind of audit with God. Let God do a kind of CT or MRI scan on you. And just say, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I'm into, anything I'm connected with, anything that I've done, where basically I'm allowing my spirit to be defiled? And it's a bit of a bugbear of mine, but forgive me. But thinking about stuff to do with occult involvement, there are all kinds of things, even in Facebook, which, although they don't call themselves horoscopes, they are basically horoscopes. Because they claim basically on a sort of random basis to tell you something about your personality or your future. I would recommend you have nothing to do with them. You know. Be aware that there are things that can defile your spirit. And if there is anything, you need to repent, break your association with it, and move on. Amen?
Amen.
Next one. Our spirit can become dull. The reference here is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. So again, if you have this idea that my spirit is this diamond inside where nothing can ever go wrong, well, in fact, you can become spiritually dull and indifferent. So that is something that happens to you spiritually. That means that's happening in your spirit. Our spirit can be dull. And if you're immediately thinking, well, you might be immediately thinking, is that true? Is he just talking nonsense? But if you think it might be true, you might have a question, well, how can I avoid being spiritually dull? And this passage gives you a great antidote to dullness. It's to love people. You know, if you would like in your spirit to not be dull, one very good strategy against dullness is to follow a path of loving people. And that will help make sure you are not dull. But the risk for all of us is that we could become dull. And actually today, we might actually be dull. So Holy Spirit, am I dull? Am I indifferent? If you are, there's only one person who can change that. And that's you. That's your spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you, but the Holy Spirit won't do the work for you unless you first say, I want to be different. I don't want to be dull. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Oh, if you give Holy Spirit the invitation, he will help you. But unless you give him the invitation, not just a flippant, you know, in a sense, any of us can pray any prayer, can't we? I don't mean just say a prayer. I mean it. Mean it in your spirit. I'm not going to live like this anymore. Things have got to change. Next one. Our spirit needs to be fed. Some people gave responses about food, and someone, well, go for it. It's not a top of the class, but fed spiritually. Was that you, Colette? Yeah, oh, wow, amazing. Yeah, our bodies need to be fed. Our souls need to be fed. Our spirits need to be fed. Obviously, our bodies need food and drink. Our souls need food and drink. Someone I think shared about, I think it was maybe Joanna, about like contact time with friends and family. Just as, you know, people, just as human beings, we actually need to be around other people that occasionally do us good. We need to have contact with other people. That's part of being fed as human beings. That, I think, is primarily at a soul level. But we also need to be fed spiritually. The reference here is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through to 3. And he talks there about, basically he's saying to these people, he's writing to, you're spiritually babies, you've hardly begun, and you need to crave spiritual milk. Well, spiritual milk must be milk that comes in the spirit, because it's spiritual milk, it's not like milk from a cow or something else. So he's saying that even if you're just beginning as a Christian, there is food that you need to crave. So my spirit isn't just this diamond with its own kind of energy source where I don't have to worry about what goes into it, because it's just like Iron Man's thing, you know, it's just like, no, it's this thing needs to be fed. It actually needs to be fed. So if I don't pay attention to how I feed my spirit, that might not be so good. So again, Holy Spirit, is it possible that I am not paying enough attention to what my spirit eats and what my spirit drinks? If there's something I need to change, if there's something I need to do, Holy Spirit, will you show me? Amen? Amen. How am I doing? You with me so far? We're almost done. Is it making sense?
Yes.
Next one. Our spirit can be weak or strong. A couple of passages here. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2 and Galatians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9. So in the passage written by the Apostle John, he's speaking to a friend and he's saying that I hope you're strong, hope you're healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. So if he's saying that he hopes that his friend is strong in spirit, that clearly suggests it's possible not to be strong in your spirit. So your spirit can be strong or weak. So again, if you've got this idea of, I keep saying diamond, it works for me, there might be some other idea that works for you. If there's this power core within you, you think that's your spirit, and it's like vroom, vroom, and you know, God made it and it's perfect and nothing can ever go wrong with it. Well, here's the news. It actually can be strong or weak. And don't let anybody ever tell you, whether it's the enemy or anybody else, that you might have a spirit that's a little bit weak. And don't worry, that's just how you were born. God just made you weak. When he made you as a Christian, he made you with a weak spirit. That's got to be nonsense. Your spirit is designed to be strong. But your spirit being strong is not automatic. It's up to your spirit whether it's strong or weak. So Holy Spirit, if my spirit is weak, if there are things I'm doing or not doing that are causing me to be weak rather than strong, will you show me and will you help me make decisions in my spirit that cause my spirit to be strong? Jesus, given that I have a choice between weak or strong, I want to choose strong. Amen?
Amen.
I want to be strong. And the passage in Galatians, it's talking about these believers in Jesus, how they used to believe in all kinds of other stuff. And he's saying to them, why would you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? So he's saying to Christians, that it's possible for us, through decisions we make and things that we choose to believe, to be enslaved to weak and useless spiritual principles. That a Christian can do that. I could do that. That could be true for me. It could be true for you. So Holy Spirit, if there's anything weak and useless that I'm enslaved to in my spirit, will you please show me? Amen?
Amen.
We're almost done. If you can, find someone and say to them, he said we're almost done. At approximately 12:20. Next one, please. Our spirit can receive and use gifts. A passage there is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then I skipped through a couple of verses, picking up at verse 4 through to verse 7. It's a very famous passage. In that passage, Paul spends some time talking about spiritual gifts. And again, it's a big subject, but basically this is true. The Holy Spirit likes to give gifts, and they're spiritual gifts, and he gives them to us. And I believe it's God's will that all of us would have at least one spiritual gift, at least one. And I'm sure actually the Holy Spirit would like us to give and use many spiritual gifts. Now, when the Holy Spirit gives you a spiritual gift, who is he giving it to? Or which part of you is he giving it to? Is he giving it to your body? Not primarily. Is he giving it to your soul? Not primarily. It's to your spirit. So the promise for the church, for believers, for followers of Jesus, the promise is that we will be receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit, and those gifts are received by our spirits. So your spirit is the bit of you that has received or is receiving or will soon be receiving a spiritual gift. What decisions are you going to make about what you do with the gift? Holy Spirit, is it possible that I have received in my spirit a gift from you and I've left it unwrapped, unused, and unacknowledged? If that is true, please show me and help me to change my ways. Amen?
Amen.
Next, and before I conclude, oh, this is the final main idea before I actually do finish. I wasn't even lying. Next. Oh, this is it, yeah. Our spirit can be on fire. Or not so much. on fire or not so much. And the passage here is from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. I'll read this, I think. So this is Paul talking to his, Paul was like Timothy's mentor. They had a long relationship, like a father and son really. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same, that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. That really is kind of the heart, I think, of what I would try to get across to you today. That there's a strong urging from God to you to fan into flames. So again, it's not just this boom, 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 this diamond power core crystal thing inside you that has got this power, this thing that just carries on the same every day. It's just, well, whatever you do, it's the same. No, it's not that. Paul says to Timothy, you received a spiritual gift. So we've already seen Timothy received a spiritual gift. Where did he receive it? In his spirit. What was supposed to happen to that gift? What was Paul thinking would happen to that gift? Was Paul saying to Timothy, well, you've got that spiritual gift now. Let's see how it goes. You know, it might work out. It might be useful to you. It might not. You know, it might work out well. It might not. It might, you might like it. You might not. No. He says, fan into flame. I don't know how many other people in the room like this. I quite like fire. I quite like making fires. I quite like the thrill and jeopardy involved in having a barbecue, and people can judge my performance at actually starting a fire. We have a log burner at home. I enjoy the challenge, especially if we have guests, of what kind of disaster there will be. I felt particularly intimidated last time Terry A. Livrod was here from Norway. Yeah, I mean, I've been in Norway and I've seen their log burners and their skill at making a fire. I felt under quite a bit of pressure. But it's certainly true, particularly at barbecue time, when things aren't going so well, that sometimes it takes a certain amount of work to get the fire going. And I have more than once actually had to fan a fire into flame. You know, the fire needs a bit more oxygen, a bit more air on it, and I found some kind of stiff board. And I've got off sometimes as the rain is beginning to fall, I've got some great big board. I've stood in front of the barbecue. People started turning up and all we've got are frozen sausages. But actually, that's what we're supposed to do with our spirits. We've received something in our spirit, and God really is saying to us through Paul's encouragement here, fan it into flame. Amen? So, dear Holy Spirit, is it possible that I am not really doing as much work as I should in my spirit to fan into flame the gift that you've given me? Holy Spirit, will you show me in my spirit what kind of flame there is in my core today? Will you show me in my spirit how big you would like that flame to be? And Holy Spirit, will you reveal to me the practical things I need to do to make that flame from that to that? Amen? I think that's a good prayer. So, kind of in closing, what is the call that God makes to our spirits? Next slide, please. So really, I've picked this little passage, which I will read, as a kind of summary, really, of what I feel I needed to get across. It's from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through to 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So I've focused on your spirit. I have acknowledged that without the Holy Spirit, we're really stuck. We need the help and inspiration and power and wisdom and love and guidance of the Holy Spirit. But really what this is all about is, as Christians, we are called to live by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to live in the Holy Spirit. But to do that, we have to exercise our own spirit. It's not just, living in the Spirit isn't just something that the Holy Spirit does to us. You know, maybe we have to say like one prayer that we half mean, and then the Holy Spirit really comes and takes over and does everything. Sometimes it can feel a bit like he does just take over, because he's big. But in general, that isn't reality. That isn't, I don't think, how life is in God's universe. Living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, is all about decisions we make in our spirit to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and get to give the Holy Spirit permission to do what he'd like to do in us and through us. And that's not automatic. You're being born from above. That's done and dusted. Your being a child of God is done and dusted. But the quality of the life that you lead, until you see Jesus face to face, the quality of that life, that is not automatic. That is not guaranteed. That's your choice. That comes down to decisions you make about how you look after yourself. Looking after your body is important. Looking after your soul is important. Looking after your spirit is really, really important. It matters. So I've got, final slide please, Selva. So I've got four suggestions over practical things. You might think, well, this is all very well, but what am I actually supposed to do? And I haven't talked to him about this, but if it's okay with Jonathan and Helen, if you could come in a moment, lead us in something. I'd like us to have a time of worship. You can stay as long or as short as you feel you need to. Please don't feel you have to stay until the last song has been sung. Hopefully there'll be tea and coffee available outside. As and when you feel you're done, please feel free to go. But I'd like us to worship. And as we're worshipping and kind of intentionally connecting with God on a spiritual level, if you feel in response to this list or anything else that you'd like someone else to pray with you, then we can organise some prayer with you. If you would just like to stand or sit where you are, please feel free to take the time. But my four suggestions are these. Number one, break with idols. We can have all kinds of idols, things that fill our attention, things that we look at that we shouldn't look at, things that we read that we shouldn't read, things that we do that we shouldn't do, things that we follow that we shouldn't follow. And if we have idols, then we need to break with them. Number two, soak and spend time focusing on God. You know, make a decision as a person with control and authority over your own life to spend time in a very deliberate way focusing on God. And that will look different to different people, but soaking in God's presence is good. You know, having some kind of worship music around you that helps you to focus on God is good. Reading God's word on a regular basis is kind of a good idea. That's from one of the pastors. I would recommend that. Apparently it does you good. Read God's word. But it requires an investment of your time. No one else can do that for you. That's up to you. The decision you make as a spirit and a soul and a body. And third one, tune into God's voice. I put voice in inverted commas there, as I said earlier. Very important for your spiritual health that you tune into God's voice. But what God's voice is to you might not be a voice. It might be a picture, or it might be a sense, something that you feel deep down. But it's God's promise to you that you will hear his, quotes, voice. And finally, activate whatever gift you have received. You know, whatever spiritual gift or gifts the Holy Spirit has already given to you, make a decision to use them. Open the present, Write the polite thank you letter. Dear God, thank you for your gift. Thank you for your gift. It was lovely. It's the best thing like that I've ever received. It was so thoughtful of you to give me that gift. And then use it. Use it. So, thank you for your attention. I'm going to pray and then feel free to respond, to soak, to worship for as long as we can get Jonathan and Helen to play. There'll be no official end to the meeting. When you feel you've done whatever business you need to do, feel free to go. Holy Spirit, I pray that anything that I've said which is unhelpful, you will cause to fall to the ground. But Holy Spirit, if there are truths here that other spirits in the room need to hear, will you do whatever you can to knock at the door of our spirits? Cause our spirits to wake up and be alive to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.